We'll let him go ahead and work on that, I guess. Good morning, all. Welcome. This is a regular meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission for Friday, July 31, 2020. A nice summer day out there for all of us, so we'll get started. One announcement, item four, which is a land transaction, was up for approval. That is not going to happen today. It's been struck. So we'll move on to commissioners' discussions. Commissioners have some comments or historical information they want to share with us? Come on, somebody's got something.
Kim has her hand up.
Oh. Chair Carpenter?
Yes, Commissioner Thorburn.
I'll try to turn on my video, but I had a lot of problems yesterday while I give this report. So I attended the summer WAFWA meeting. It was all virtual. It was last week, and I have a few things to explain. It looks like I need to turn off my video, see if that improves. So it was fun to go virtually. When I've attended previous WAFWA meetings, I've only gone for the commissioner's committee and the commissioner director's portion of the meeting. But attending virtually, I was able to sit in on a number of WAFWA committee meetings, as well as the business session and the plenary. So I had a lot of opportunity to learn more about WAFWA and the really important collaborative work that it does among our agencies and partners. So I'm going to report on a couple of the committees as well as some of the commissioners' discussion. And the first committee that I want to report on was actually held on the first day. It's a brand new committee. It's the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. This group actually has been promoted for a number of years by Greg Woolley, who is commissioner, actually probably outgoing commissioner in Oregon. His appointment is up, but he hasn't been replaced. So he remains right now on the commission and is also the commission vice chair in Oregon. And he's worked for a long time with that department on staff diversification, and also has worked with WAFWA to eventually get this committee founded. It was really well attended, and there was a presentation from the diversity officer in Texas. Texas is not a member of WAFWA, but this particular individual has worked for the department in Texas for a number of years and has done some really very interesting work with staff diversification in that department, and also has consulted with other agencies throughout the country. Very interesting work that he presented to us. They then went around the room. I should say that this committee is going to be chaired by the director from Kansas. They went around the room. It's interesting. Most agencies at this point don't have diversity specialists on board. So we're kind of cutting edge there. Many agencies are looking at that. So the people who were attending had other positions in the agency, but had been given diversity, equity, and inclusion responsibilities as an addition to their jobs. And they were asked sort of, what are priority issues to set an agenda going forward for this committee? And what really struck me was a lot of them said, because there are really two issues with diversity, two large issues with diversity, equity, and inclusion. One is making sure that our staffs look like the communities that we serve. So sort of internal issues, but also one that we have discussed is ensuring that the outdoors are safe and welcoming to our diverse communities. And that was the concern that was most frequently raised and put on the agenda was, how do we do that? How do we make outdoors safe and welcoming for our diverse communities? And, you know, we had the incident in Forks as a reminder. This really is a challenging issue for our agencies and certainly came forward in the diversity, equity, and inclusion new committee at WAFWA. The other committee that I'll mention was the Human Dimensions Committee. A lot of communications professionals attend this, as well as a number of departments are hiring sociologists and related positions to help with this area. This committee actually may be folded into a couple of others. WAF was undergoing some reorganization. A lot of the discussion there was about development of communication plans for challenging issues. One that was discussed was chronic wasting disease. At the commissioners' committee, I should mention that Utah was, so that meant that the Utah commissioners chaired the commissioner meeting, commissioner committee. We had the usual really interesting round robin discussion. A couple of areas that I'll bring up include, I should mention that Idaho reported on their wolf census. It's the most complete that they've done. They're using a new counting technology where they've placed game cameras in strategic areas throughout the state. They're using it not just for wolves, but for other species as well. They did do a wolf census. They used the game cameras in conjunction with other direct counting methods like flights, and actually discovered that their wolf population was about twice what they thought it was. So they have actually liberalized hunting in a number of regions. They approach predator management and hunting a little bit differently than Washington does. They actually set ceiling goals for their a predator population and hunt to those goals. So that the wolves and other predators as well are hunted that way. The commissioner's committee selects a couple of topics to go forward. We had a lot of discussion about shed hunting regulation, and also a topic that comes up quite regularly is fair chase in this era of new technology. A number of the agencies are regulating various technologies, like the use of game cameras that ping your phone, also longer range weapons. So we have a lot of discussion about that, and it's actually shed hunting and a fair chase discussion that will be advanced to the January meeting. One other issue that was discussed that I want to mention, because we will be looking at this in the near future, and we've seen some written testimony from constituents on it. The Kansas commissioner talked about the blood tracking of wounded animals with dogs, and he really raved about it. It's been legal for about 5 years, I think, in Kansas. They do it with the dogs on leash, but he says that it's really helped with wounded animal recovery. And as I mentioned, it's something that we'll be looking at probably with our next look at the game management plan. I attended the plenary as well. They added a fifth R, and that was resiliency. It was really kind of an uplifting session. There was a lot of discussion among the commissioners and everyone else about various agency responses in COVID-19. I should just mention, I unfortunately was late to the awards ceremony, so I missed that we, WDFW, have a retiring staff scientist from the Wildlife Department who received the highest WAFWA award that's given, and that's the Philip W. Schneider Lifetime Achievement Award, and that went to Steve Jeffries, marine scientist, who has just retired, but what an honor for both Steve and the department. So that's my report on WAFWA. If there are any questions or anything.
Well, Commissioner Thorburn, first of all, thank you for participating, and thank you for a good report. It sounded like you got a lot out of it. We'll look forward to hearing more in the future.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I'd like to say a few words about a potential blue sheet that I'm considering, and it will be on pinniped management. I've not yet fleshed it out, but I wanted to give the commission a early perspective on that, that we've spent a significant amount of time and resources as a state, region, federal government, tribes, and others with regard to salmon and steelhead recovery. But you know, there hasn't been that much done relative to the impacts and risk to the salmon and steelhead populations from pinnipeds in the wrong place, the wrong locations. Been stuff done on the Columbia River that's still in the implementation phase, and that's all good. But what I would like to start the dialogue on at a greater level than what we've had is what we're going to be doing in Puget Sound. I know that we've had presentations or a presentation last year from Nate with regard to some of the work that's been underway, but there's obviously more that has gone on, and there's more that's being contemplated. And I felt it'd be important, or will be important, for us as a commission to fully engage and be a part of that. So I'll be drafting up a blue sheet, trying to refine it, make it work, so to speak, in terms of the ask. And probably won't have that until sometime in for the September meeting. So I just wanted to give people a heads up on that. You know, I think that there's things that we can learn, that we can keep in front of us, that it will help us focus as on policy, and that it would help us complete the or get more fully into recovery of salmon and steelhead.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Any questions from the commission? Okay, any other commissioner discussion points? Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning to you and the rest of the commission, staff, and the public. I just wanted to mention, and I communicated with you yesterday. I have to leave a meeting for a
breaking up again, Bob.
Bob, you're fading.
We're not hearing much, Bob, at all.
All right, let me. This is a persistent problem.
Do you want to try and call in, Bob, so we could hear?
Well, how about better? Any better?
Yeah, better.
Better? Okay. And I apologize. Real computer problems. This is frustrating. But in any event, Mr. Chair, I communicated yesterday that I have to leave at 11 o'clock for about an hour and a half, then to Fraser panel meeting. And just so you know that, and in case there's any quorum implications.
You went away, Bob.
Yeah. And then one other thing related to the Fraser, maybe just a quick update on the Fraser Sockeye run. You know, the expectations were low for a poor in terms of return. Those expectations are coming to fruition, unfortunately, and actually less. The Fraser Sockeye return is looking less than what the forecast is. Still early in the run. There will be no commercial ceremonial subsistence opportunities for the tribes as a result of the poor return. So it's a little bit different picture than what we're seeing on sockeye returns on the Columbia. And at least, you know, indications are, you know, a decent return of Baker Lake sockeye. One other interesting note that is concerning to everyone here is the big bar slide in on the upper Fraser. People may have heard about that or had some discussions. There was a major rock slide about 2 years ago. Canada has really stepped up and done a lot to try to mitigate the damage from that and allow passage past natural passage past the slide. Unfortunately, this year, discharge levels have been record levels throughout the Fraser. And that is further complicating, you know, the attempt to get fish past the big bar slide. Hopefully in the coming days, the discharge level will decrease, which will allow a natural passage for Chinook, Coho, and Sockeye to reach their spawning grounds. So I just wanted to give people a quick update on the Fraser. Not a great picture. But that was kind of consistent. So, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. A difficult year for all. Commissioner Linville.
So, obviously, fire's on my mind right now. And what I've been thinking about is, you know, it always feels like we're talking about allocations and who gets what. And for me, it's almost become a mute point, because if we're losing habitat, you know, these allocations aren't going to mean a whole lot. And, you know, when we lose an entire watershed to fire and, you know, smolt migration is impacted and water temperatures rise and all of that, you know, that's really, really problematic. And kind of to rob a JFK phrase, you know, ask not what your habitat can do for you, but what you can do for your habitat. And so I'm going to be thinking in the future about, you know, what the commission can do to encourage people to, and what people can do to help become habitat warriors. And I'm kind of sick of talking about allocations, quite frankly, because I know they're important, but you know, we've got a bigger issue at hand here, and it just becomes obvious to me right now. The fire that we have going on here is moving away from the pygmy rabbit habitat, which is a good thing, but those are $1 million rabbits that we could lose in, you know, 5 minutes worth of fire. So my point, I guess, is that if somebody asks you what they can do for habitat, they can become a volunteer firefighter. We almost no firefighters out here that are on salary. It's all volunteer force, and this is sort of where a lot of the habitat lies. And so anyways, I'm really sleepy too, so I'm sorry this is very disjointed, but that's what I'll be thinking about. Is I'm going to be thinking about the habitat and what we can really do in this state that has a positive impact on that. And I just believe that it has to be a collaboration between public and private land ownership, because I don't think there's any other way forward than that. So thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindner, for your comments. Anyone else? On a similar note to Commissioner Keogh, I also have to be away from the meeting here for 30 to 40 minutes, about 11 o'clock. I will be passing the gavel to Vice Chair Baker. I have a family medical call I have to take. So anyway, we got to do everything we got to do to get the business done. So we're moving away from commissioners' discussion. Meeting minute approval. We're going to need a motion for the June 10 through 13 and the June 26, 2020 meetings. Would someone be happy to make a motion?
Chair Carpenter, I'll make them as two separate motions.
Please.
I move to approve the June 10th through 13, 2020 Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission minutes as submitted.
I'll second. Smith will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, Commissioner Thorburn.
I move to approve the June 26, 2020 Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission webinar minutes as submitted.
Smith will second that too.
Okay. Again, a second by Commissioner Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner Smith. We are now going to move into committee reports. And Commissioner Thorburn, are you warmed up? You want to start this?
I will start it. So I believe it was July 1st, we held a WWF committee meeting. It was the members of the WWF committee as well as our staff who staffed the committee, joined by our WWF biologist, Ben Mutleski, as well as the postdoctoral person and the faculty at the University of Washington, who are developing the population modeling for our periodic status review. It was a really outstanding discussion, mostly information provided by both Ben and the faculty and postdoc talked about methodology. It was very encouraging, I think, for the WWF committee members to hear that we have a ton of really good Washington WWF population data and a number of data sets that Ben has already been able to provide to the faculty, and they've begun work in terms of what the modeling is going to take a look at. Subsequent to that, we've received a revised timeline for the periodic status review. The modeling itself will be completed next spring, summer, and it was just a very interesting, in-depth discussion that we appreciated. It is committee was recorded, so it's available if others are interested and haven't seen that. Yesterday we held a Wildlife Committee meeting, and much of the time was spent on actually an agenda item today, and that is the target shooting rule that will be presented to us. We also had as an extension to that, rather extensive discussion on non-toxic ammunition and its current regulation in Washington and where we want to go. And then another part of the target shooting rule that has been left for the future, which is dispersed shooting versus having set areas where target shooting takes place and the development of those on our wildlife areas. Those are were identified early on in the process of the rule development and not taken on. The rule itself has been a sort of Yeoman's effort of collaboration and work by intensive work by an advisory committee as well as many of our staff, really focusing on concerns about safety, fire, and other issues that have arisen with shooting that has been less regulated on our wildlife areas. The committee wants it to be known that we're very supportive of the work that is being presented to us and the rule that's being presented to us today. This was so important to undertake and to get to where we are. And we bring that forward with a strong endorsement to the full commission. And then just add that we also strongly believe we're not done yet, and we do need to move forward with issues of non-toxic ammunition. Where we are, we have joined the Non-Toxic Ammunition Coalition Collaborative as a supporter and are working with them in this age of virtual education and outreach to develop how they're going to work with our partners in this state to advance this issue. And also the second issue is the dispersed shooting and development of shooting ranges. Those are the areas that are not yet done, and the Wildlife Committee in particular will continue to follow this effort as we move forward. But again, repeat that we're very supportive of the rule that we'll be seeing today. In addition, we have all seen commissioners have all seen correspondence from Craig, I think it's Hillcrest, who was concerned, who has actually testified before the commission about a program that he's involved in providing hunting opportunities to kids with life-threatening conditions. And we ran up against a little bump in terms of being able to allow some of his kids access to hunting under our current procedures. That has actually been worked out thanks to Eric Gardner, the program director. It has been communicating directly with Craig, and they've identified a current policy which needs a few revisions, and that's being taken care of. And this issue is going to be resolved. I think all of us were very moved when Craig presented to us in, I think, Spokane last year about this program. So we were very pleased as committee members that, and also Commissioner McIsaac was there and thanked Eric for the work that he'd been able to do to get this taken care of. And then I will mention one additional thing in my report, because I forgot to bring it up in the Wildlife Committee. There was a committee that I attended at WAFWA was the Human Wildlife Conflict Committee. And one of the issues discussed was emergency response planning for human serious human dangerous wildlife conflicts, including those that result in death. Agencies talked about their response planning and where they are, and it's not anything that we in the commission, I think, at least during the time that I've been on, has heard anything about. It requires a lot of coordination. We had that incident of a Forest Service worker in Region 2 that was chased up the tree by wolves a year or so ago, and the response looked a little disorganized. So it's certainly something to have a response plan in place. So I bring this up now because I'm going to put it on the Wildlife Committee agenda for us to take a look at least get briefed on where we are, and see if it's something we need to get involved in. And that concludes my report, unless anybody on the committee wants to add anything.
Commissioner Baker, you has her hand up. You're still muted, Barbara.
I wanted to add a line to Kim's report on the kids with life-threatening illnesses. In case the rest of the commission or any of the public are interested in how the agency resolved that issue, it was pretty simple. They looked at historical use of this program and then set some numerical timeline or numerical boundaries and said that at least for now, we're going to allow up to 20 of these permits per year, of which 5 can be from out of state. So we talked to Eric about whether that was sufficient. There was more discussion about whether those hunts have to be within the seasons. But I think we were all pretty impressed that Eric took this to heart and managed to come up with a solution that should work. So I just thought people might be interested in how that was resolved. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker. Commissioner Thorburn, do you have more? Okay. Commissioner Thorburn, are you finished?
I'm done. I'm finished, yeah. Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting myself.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else other than now? We'll go to the Fish Committee meeting. Okay, I've asked Commissioner Keogh to give the report, and I just want to start off by saying we had a very good meeting yesterday, and we had 3 additional commissioners on board and participated, all made very meaningful comments. And so, Bob, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I scribbled something here together after getting your request this morning to present the board. So here goes. The chair, Chair Carpenter, called the meeting to order at 1 p.m. The meeting was attended by all of the Fish Committee members, Chair Carpenter, Commissioner Graybill, Commissioner Isaac, and myself. And as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, Commissioners Anderson, Thorburn, and Baker were on the call, as were at least at one point 68 attendees who listened in. We did take some comments on the hatchery policy update, and that the hatchery policy update was the first item on the agenda. Ron Warren did all he could do to kind of concentrate and run through his PowerPoint presentation. He had golfers in his side yard looking for their errant tee shots and dogs licking his feet, but managed to power through the presentation. That presentation will be made Saturday morning. I'm not going to give out of the details. That's what they call in the business a tease. We want you back on Saturday, folks, and hear all. We also got an update from the concerning a recent meeting with the co-managers over the development of the policy. Recall that the Fish Committee worked together with staff and put a some language together and sent it to co-managers for the for their input before the document went out to the public for review. That meeting took place, I believe it was on Monday, and it was Commissioners Anderson, McIsaac, and Graybill attended that meeting. And the report was a very positive meeting. The tribes co-managers were appreciative of the engagement, and they did have some suggested language changes. During the meeting, Commissioner McIsaac ran through those changes that were recommended, kind of highlighted those, and incorporated most, if not all of them, in the policy. The Fish Committee will present a recommendation to the full commission tomorrow following Ron Warren's presentation to submit or put out this draft language for public review. And so that's kind of wrap up of the hatchery policy update. And next on the agenda was the Willapa policy review. Chad Herring presented an update on the progress that has been made over the past few weeks. The commission reviewed the the committee reviewed the draft table of contents and generally approved the draft table of contents. And then Chad also presented a sketch timeline for the policy review process, which included a December decision on any December decision by the commission on any changes to the commission policy with regard to. Commissioner McIsaac offered some suggestions, maybe tweaks to the process or the timeline. And I think the committee, Fish Committee, will continue to kind of think about maybe some slight modifications. But Chair, Vice Chair Baker did make the comment that he would like to have this ready for a decision at the December commission meeting. Ron Warren then also gave a an update on where things are on the CARES Act fisheries assistance. Recall that as part of one of the earlier CARES Act stimulus packages, there was State of Washington was awarded $50 million for disaster assistance or financial assistance to seafood industry. And Ron was tasked with kind of coordinating that effort. Ron advised that currently WDFW is in consultation with co-managers about what the spending plan will look like. Ron indicated that expectation is that the spending plan, proposed spending plan will be sent to, will be finalized at the end of August and then sent to NOAA Fisheries and the Office of Management and Budget for their approval, and which we hope will be quick so that money can be distributed to those industries that have been impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. And Ron did indicate that still, as as WDFW has indicated to the public, they will be looking at the spending plan will incorporate, or will be considering losses through the end of July, so July 31st day, as a matter of fact, and that there is a possibility, which is a problem for fisheries that are ongoing. Many salmon fisheries are still ongoing in Alaska. But Ron also did provide an update that kind of the Senate's most recent relief package was released earlier in this week, which did have $500 million additional seafood disaster assistance. However, that still there still needs to be a lot worked out with the House and their version of the HEROES Act. So more to come on that. I think the bottom line is that there's hope that there will still be some more financial assistance for fishery participants in fisheries that are ongoing, so that we can establish whether or not they qualify for any disaster funds. And then lastly, there was a presentation by Craig Burley on the non-native game fish and fisheries policy development. This is in response to Commissioner Thorburn's blue sheet requesting that such a policy be developed. The committee reviewed and approved a proposed timeline for the policy development, which calls for a decision in September of 2021. And also, Craig laid out kind of a design analysis framework that will be used in providing options on a lot of different categories for the commission to consider to be included in the policy. Very well thought out kind of framework, which will greatly assist the commission in as we go policy. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman, and I would open it up to other Fish Committee members to fill in where some of the gaps.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Keogh. I don't think you left many gaps in your report, and I thank you for that. Any other members of the committee or other commissioners in attendance that want to add anything? You did great, Bob. Thank you. Okay, Don, you want to give a Columbia River Work Group report. We're a little behind schedule, so please be brisk.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's tough to be brisk in 90-degree weather here, but we'll do the best we can. The Columbia River Work Group met July 21st by webinar. All work group members were present, along with department staff Ron Warren, Bill Twite, and Ryan Lothrop, and legal counsel Joe Ponesco from the AG's office. Commissioners Carpenter, Anderson, and Linville were present in the audience, along with approximately 30 members of the public and other department staff. The agenda and the reference documents can be found on the commission website. The bulk of the meeting dealt with a discussion of public comments on draft revised language for policy that has been out for review over the course of summer. Written comment was reviewed, and comment from those on the webinar was also taken and discussed. Ryan Lothrop answered questions about the status and patterns of salmon and steelhead returns to the mouth of Columbia River and the performance of fishery management in not exceeding catch limitations. Joe Ponesco answered questions about the wording in the purpose section of the public review draft and its consistency with RCW 7742012 that details the mandate of the commission. There was discussion about engaging the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission towards the common goal of policy and regulatory concurrency. And there was also discussion of the content of the analytical decision support document that was presented to the Washington Commission prior to adopting Policy 3620 in January of 2013. And that had particular emphasis on conservation definitions and measures. The committee reached a unanimous consensus on one recommendation for the commission for this meeting. The Columbia River Work Group recommends that the commission schedule consideration of final action on revised policy language for policy C-3620 at the September 10 to 12 meeting, with a Columbia River Work Group meeting held on September 10th to consider language changes to the current public review draft. The Columbia River Work Group did not assign any further analysis tasks to staff, and in noting the excellent and voluminous staff work currently available on the Commission web pages dealing with the Columbia River Fishery Review process, expressed an expectation of low staff workload at the September Commission meeting. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks and report of the CRW.
Well done, Don. Any questions of Commissioner McIsaac? Okay, thank you very much.